Welcome back to the Born to Trade podcast. Today, I'm joined by someone you've met before, Kojo Forex, for an exclusive special edition episode. We've heard his backstory, but today we're focusing on something different. We're diving deeper into the emotional code behind every trading decision. Kojo, long time.
Yeah, long time.
It's been a while.
Kojo, let's start with some quickfire questions. And obviously, it's good to have you back, and back by popular demand. That podcast that we did together, I just would read the comments, and yeah. You know, it's so clear that you've touched and impacted so many people's lives with the education and the information you provide people, and it's inspiring. But basically, due to popular demand, that's why we're back, and obviously we'll dive a little deeper than we did last time,
right?
With that being said, let's start with some quick fire questions. So, and I know you'll love this one. If your trading style was a music genre, what would it be?
I'd say it would be folk.
Folk music.
Yeah.
Folk. What do you mean? That's funny.
You know, the one artist that is like really dominant in the folk category or genre is Enya.
I like Enya.
And I love Enya, you know. So basically you could just feel the calmness from that angle. And when I'm trading, I just like that whole serene calmness. So like I'd relate it to folk, yeah.
And Enya's your go-to?
Yeah. I'm really in the zone all the time when I'm traded.
I know you are. I remember you said you put your headphones on and you just go for it. So, okay. That's awesome. What's your go-to reset when you feel off balance during a session?
Off balance. I'd say still music.
Music.
Yeah. Music plays a lot of role in my life.
One emotion that's helped you the most as a trader. One emotion.
Say patience.
Patience.
Yeah.
What's something people misunderstand about your trading mindset?
That I have a holy grail.
Just of the knowledge or predicting the markets kind of thing? Or
it's like they don't expect me to make mistakes.
Okay.
You know, it's like they think I figured it all out. I'm supposed to be a perfect trader.
Have you been in a position where people hold you accountable for their trading mistakes?
Yes.
How do you handle that? Because that can be kind of, you know, emotionally demanding.
Yeah. I mean, I bring them back. I try to bring them to my level to make them understand that that's how it's supposed to be. Like, there isn't, like, that perfect system in trading where, like, I'm not susceptible to any mistakes. You know, I'm just a human being, just as them. That's all you have, a little bit of edge in being a little bit more right than wrong. Yeah.
So let's look at trading through the pressure. Behind every trade, there's a mental state. We don't talk about it enough, though. And it's pressure and, you know, self-doubt. They all show up on the charts. And eventually, Kojo, has there been a moment where emotions almost took over?
Yeah, so many times.
Let's tell me an example or a situation.
Yeah. It's funny that we have the most recent encounter in the same question you've asked, because it has been like, let's say, a good 2-3 years. I practically did any type of boot camp in the industry in terms of like helping or training others. All they get is like my pre-recorded videos or YouTube videos. So in the last like 1 week or 2 weeks, myself with a group of friends that trade like myself were like, okay, why not? Let's just give something back to the community. But for us to like let them feel the process, we decided to do something obscure, something that is not quite usual in what the mentor scene would do, which is like growing a $500 account. And so we did more like an internal challenge between the three of us, but we were literally trading and showing the history to the community on social media.
Trading same product, same account type, same spreads. Had to go. So three people, $500 each. What happened?
You could feel it, you know, because like we all have our own individual communities, right? And they all have their own names in their own regions as well. And they are well known as well.
So this was like a proper like public trading
competition. Yeah.
And what was the, how long was the?
For 1 month.
For 1 month. Okay.
For 1 month.
Tell me more. That's interesting.
It was very interesting, you know, because I started off very hard. You know, for $500, and it was a competition. So for the most part, it's like I needed to just one way or the other come up on top, you know. And I'd be frank to say that sometimes I did throw risk management out of the way. And sometimes I did have to like keep risk management in check because, you know, you can blow the account and then it's publicly like being followed, you know. So I did put in a few big lots, 5 lots, 1 lots, just to get ahead in time early. And then I think the first day I ended up growing the account by more than 100%, and I posted a result online. And then everybody was cheering, okay, yeah, you're in the lead. And then the other two guys had not traded. So you could see like they being under pressure. Asleep, wake up, and then they're already at 2,000. Like, wow. I started off good, now they're in the lead. So now emotions just keep setting in. Like that thing went on for a good 1 month, and then I could not, like, keep my head at rest because I'm just thinking.
Every day that was your that consumed you.
Yeah, it did consume
So
me, you know.
what was the final
You'd be blown away to know that I ended up, all of us ended up growing the account above $40,000.
You're kidding.
Yes, and then my final amount was $44,000 actually.
Amazing.
Yes, and it was all followed.
Did you withdraw it, I hope?
Yes, and it was all publicly followed, and
Amazing.
they loved it. Yeah, it was. But there was a lot of experience that I didn't share publicly with that journey.
That's a lot of emotion
Yeah,
because you have the
yeah.
emotions of normal trading, but now there's a competition and there's public following
Yeah.
and your reputation to a
Yes,
certain extent.
exactly.
So that's like all in on emotions. Okay, interesting. So, Kojo, with that being said, let's talk about emotional patterns. What's one thing you had to unlearn to really grow as a trader? Unlearn.
Unlearn. That's quite tricky, though. Then to unlearn.
Told you this time we're going deeper and may making me think on this one.
And then I had to unlearn. Oh, okay. And they are probably related to strategy, are
Okay.
probably related to strategy because when I started trading, I think in the previous one I said I really went through the process of being like a scalper, day trader, and then swing trader. And I said, if you gave me the opportunity, I'd rather start from being like a swing trader, gain that patience before I like come all the way down to like dealing the 5 minute, 1 minute, because by then I would have built my patience and like psychology well intact. But I quite remember that during those times in my journey, there were like so many unusual technical skills or technical strategies that I was using that was somewhat full of indicators. I'm not saying that people that use indicators are doing it wrong, but I had it extremely scattered on my charts because I just was so soaked in it. Like did
It becomes like
any
a paralysis by analysis. There's just too much information, literally.
yeah, I was literally consumed. And then what happens, you'd have one like just playing out, a day or two, sometimes a week, and then the next time that I take a loss out of that, then I clean it all up and I go look for a new one, until that, like that point I'm like, okay, it's okay, it's done, I'm done with like the whole indicator era. I need to like learn a new strategy entirely, which is like going into price action. And that's just really when my real journey into price action began.
That was the game
yeah
changer.
yeah it was a real game changer for me, because for me, I suddenly started asking myself like questions from the beginning. Really funny questions I started asking, that okay, who started all this technical analysis, and then like what did they used to do then? I wanted to like follow the journey. And that's where I read about Edward and Maggie. Apparently they had written a book in the 1940s about technical analysis of stock trend, and I just saw like they were really doubling down on chart patterns and trend lines, and like, okay, these people are using purely like, price action to predict long-term and short-term directional movement of the market. So I had to unlearn just depending on external indicators to like depending on the real price action.
The fortitude to understand that what you're doing is wrong and trying to understand a new way to, research and trade, that says a lot because I think some people, I don't know if you want to call it some sort of like an ego or whatever, but they keep on repeating the same mistakes and expecting different results. Interesting. So you had to unlearn a strategy that you were using because it was just unsuccessful. It was just you were losing.
Yes.
At one point, were you like, you know what? Instead of unlearning just to stop trading, or you're like, no, I'm gonna conquer this and I need to just do a better.
So you see, what most people don't touch on, or is probably not said much, is how much of a difficult process it is to transition from one strategy to another. Because
Learning a new
strategies,
language,
exactly,
literally.
it's like a habit,
Sure, sure. Harder.
harder. You get used to like trading with some indicator. Maybe just because you've just been so dependent on it for like a year, 2 years, it's a part of you. your eyes is trained to like see it and interpret it, and suddenly somebody's like, delete all of those things and then do it this way. You know, you'd find yourself subconsciously going back to put that thing on. You know, it's like breaking the rules without realizing. You need somebody to be very strong on you to just keep that momentum going. Or if you don't have anybody watching you, then you have to be that person to watch your own self. And that can be very difficult. It's just like somebody trying to quit smoking or drinking. They find themselves going back to doing those things subconsciously or even in hidden.
Muscle memory kind of thing.
I had a guy come to one of my training sessions in the academy in Ghana. And then I saw his chart was just full of indicators and just clutter stuff. And then I taught them like all that I do in trading, pure price action technicals and all of that, you know. And then at the end of the session, he comes back, could you have a little bit of issue? I'm like, okay, what is it? And then I see that he's panicking to open his laptop. I'm like, feel free, open it. Because when he opened the laptop, all the things that I asked them to delete, he still has them on. And then he's still like just stuck in the dark. So it's like everything that I taught, he didn't.
But, you know, some people, he needs to help himself. And you know, there's only so much you can do. So
yeah. So for me, like there was that critical moment where I'm like, I'm going to use the next 1 year to 6 months to just, you know, delete all of these things, reform my mind, and then follow this new path that I want to, at least I need to see results. And then the other thing that I had to also be disciplined with was not just using short-term decisions to make long-term, inconveniences to make long-term decisions, in the sense that just because I am switching from the indicators and going to like price action, if I take a loss in a week or even in a month, then suddenly I'm like, okay, that one is not working, and then start looking for something else. I came to the point of understanding that I needed a long-term data to be able to back what I was doing. So giving myself between 6 months and a year was enough time for me to like analyze and see if what I was doing was really good.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, let's say with discipline, for example, I mean, it's a word that gets thrown out a lot. We also discussed that last time, but what does emotional discipline look like for you now versus a beginner trader? So discipline now versus, you started trading 2014 or 17?
12, actually.
2012. So emotional discipline for Kojo Forex now versus 12, same, or is it different, or has it evolved?
It is different. You know, it is different. It's different in so many ways. You know, in terms of psychology, like for me, it's like once I just understood, I think we just touched based on that previously, like nobody's going to hold my hands to put on the risk. Once I just understood that, like before I take a trade, I am like, I'm in control of my own self, you know. But if I know that I'm blowing my account, like, yeah, I took actions that led to that. So prior to that, then I know that I have to like put my risk management in check. I have to like go according to the rules. So if I have situations where I feel like, okay, I want to expose this account, you know, to risk, I know. And then if I double it, fine. If it doesn't go well as well, yes, it is. Like just like the competition account, I just knew that certain times, some of the risk that I was putting on, you know, I did take loss in some of them. Like I did have a huge setback in most of them, you know, most of the times. There were times where like being up 20,000, then I'd come down to like, let's say 17,000 or 14,000. And then the rest are up like, you know, 22,000. I had to like have that mental fortitude to build back up while still maintaining risk management, because obviously the public is still following that. So you kind of have like some crazy level of, you know, discipline and then mental strength to be able to like go through that.
Do you think you've built in steps to stop emotional trading outside of your other competition, but to stop emotional trading? Do you have like kind of your own kind of risk protections built into you? Like, do you know that, hey, you know what, this is actually, I'm not aligning with who, being true to myself in terms of my trading. Do you have this? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. A lot of time. There are times where I'd like trade and then take a loss. And then I just know that this is it for the day. Like I'm done. You know, even though like I'd go back, let's say I took that loss in the morning, right? And then it's still very early hours in the morning. And then it's like 12 New York session. And I come back to the chart and I see very good setup. And I'm really like tempted. Like I need to just take this again. But I'm like, I'm done for the day. I just remember that I said I'm done for the day.
When you say you're done, I mean, do you have, let's say, like a target profit amount per day or a target loss amount?
Yes, loss amount.
And then when you reach that, let's say, call it $100, you reach a profit or loss and you're done no matter what.
Yes, no matter what.
I mean, look, everyone talks about the successes, but not enough about what happens after a tough loss. So how do you bounce back mentally outside of your headphones and, you know, your meditation? How do you rebuild your confidence to know that you're on the right path?
So I'll be honest. When it came to like the last part of the conversation, when I talked about zoning in for the last like 6 months to a year in terms of strategy, what I intend was building was like a strategy that could test, that could stand the test of time, if I put it that way, you know. And I did do a good amount of historical backtesting.
Is it with the go strategy?
Yes, yes, absolutely. For that, and then what I just concluded with. What I just found out was that there's no market condition that like I would not be able to like come out of. You know, if I follow risk management, there'll be times where like I'll make a few losses. But if I keep the same momentum going, then I'd easily make those losses back and then make profit. Where I'm driving this or centering the focus on is traders prioritizing like finding that true edge in the market.
True edge.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Like truly reaching profitability through a well backtested, a well data driven and backed strategy, you know, because sometimes we just put a lighter note on it, you know, and it's like, okay, you just got to be a trader, psychology, risk management. But what about a strategy? You know, like, do you really have that edge? Do you really have that thing that separates you from the rest of the people?
Okay, we talk about discipline, we talk about risk management, we talk about it, and it's easier said than done. But so you're saying that really the next level for someone is to find the strategy and kind of, that's not so easy though.
It is not.
I mean, that could be forever. It could be a lifelong journey.
Yes, that is the essence of trading, you know, and that's what separates you from the masses. Once you conquer that, then you can, you know, have the time to deal with like the psychology and then the emotional part of it. But if you've not answered that first, then your journey has not even begun. You know, most people think their journey has begun because they're dealing with psychological issues, like they're not able to hold trade first and for a long time. No, that's just like on the surface. But the real problem comes when you have to like know that this is the system that I'm reliant on for a long time. Because, you know, from our previous conversation, like trading is a career. And if it's a career, like you have to know that you're putting yourself in some form of autonomous, like a repetitive process. And if that repetitive process can only last you for like a year or two, then what are you going to do for the rest of the 18 years that you have to work, or 15 years, sure, whatever year? So that's where people need to like calm down to understand properly that they understand it, whether they're using only technicals or technicals in conflicts with fundamentals. Like, have you got it all clear that at all times, you know, like right now we have like all of these geopolitics going on. Are you still like active in the market? Does your system still respect some of these things regardless of how the market is moving? Yeah, I feel like once you have that confidence there, then the rest you can deal with them. You know, you just can put some systems and measures in place to measure your risk, you know, to have calmness in holding trade positions for long in terms of patience. But just imagine that you're patient. Imagine that you have all the calmness, but you just, your system is just broken. And then loss after loss. It doesn't matter what psychology you go through.
Totally.
You're still going to be down because the system is just not working.
But I mean, it sounds like for you, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like really self-awareness has been a complete game changer for you, because I don't hear it. I mean, I speak to a lot of people, but it's, some people are just chasing their tails. You know, they're not willing to accept mistakes and, you know, or learn from their mistakes. And so it sounds like that's, the self-awareness is really kind of taking you to the next level.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Yeah, right.
If you could go back to, you know, your early days of trading to Kojo, you know, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, what would you tell him to do differently? Outside of the strategies, like, I mean, more just on like the journey, the path, what would you tell them
to do differently?
Yeah. Or to be aware of.
To be honest, I did really enjoy all like the whole process.
Definitely. The journey is like half of the, you know, half of the fun.
So if you ask me to go back, I'm really wondering what I'd do differently, you know, because what I did right back then was, and maybe sometimes I always just say that just as part of like a leverage, my background also in accounting and finance did play a good role in my direction and in trading. And so initially was like cramming up every information I could get about the market, about trading, about strategy. I was reading books, listening to podcasts, watching videos, like consuming theses of like, you know, fund managers and all of that, you know. And then out of all of that, I even still came down to like the retail level of watching the ordinary retail guy, the mentors, the lifestyle guys, everybody, like just watching it. I had at one point on my file like almost all these videos and all of these strategies, right? And I would take time to watch them. That one question I was asking myself throughout those period was that every one of them believed in their system. And if every one of them believed in it, it means that there was some level of truth that was evident in each one of them. And this is where like the aspect of confluence play a strong role, in the sense that like if I trade a different system and then it says that gold is gonna go on a buy, yep, and then Nima also trades a different system and he's seeing the same thing but from a different perspective, then it's like there is an intertwine between the two. You know, there's like that point where the two meet. Other than that, then those two can somehow be put together and it will still work. It's like an added confluence. If I have like some support level that tells me that gold is going to go up, and then you have some moving average that says gold is going to go up, when I add my support to your moving average, then I kind of have like a too strong like basis to reason to the point that gold is going to go up. So watching all those videos and then all those strategies was like the defining moment of picking the pieces together to create what I did, you know, to create my strategies. Like to that's why I named it, like I repeated, the GOAT strategy in abbreviation for the greatest of all time strategy, you know, because like some systems would never change, some technicals would never, no matter how fancy people call them, that the basis still remains. I rely on support, resistance, candlestick, trend lines. Like I rely on.
Do you think, like, with, you know, so much geopolitical events going on, is it okay? Let me ask you, put it this way: are all these high level of geopolitical events, do they affect your technical strategies?
Yes,
because it's more like, are the markets more volatile? Do you find that it makes it more difficult to trade?
Yes, they do affect it, but need being aware earlier on that we cannot eliminate or sort of take out the fundamental from the core aspect of the market. I did find a way to inculcate these geopolitical and major fundamentals into the strategy as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're very well embedded in the strategies as well.
So do you take kind of like a self-inventory with your trading? Like you go for, let's say, the previous month and kind of just look at your trades and your profitability or your drawdown and these things? Or how do you kind of improve? I mean, you have a strategy that's working for you, but how do you kind of reassess what's been done and identify mistakes maybe that you've made? Do you still do that? Or
well, I used to do that actively. Now I do that, but not extremely actively, if I'll be fair. But I used to do that active, especially in the years where I started like just solidifying the strategy. I'd have like folders that I'd put every week straight, the screenshots inside, you know, the setup, how it played out, you know, I just put it inside. I mean, these days there's like so many journal tools that traders can use, but then back then I didn't have journals, so I needed to just open folder and then do the whole
proper manual
screenshot. And it was a bit tedious, you know, like doing that, but I mean, I still enjoy it. If you leave me to go back to being very active, like in terms of like keeping that record and then checking my mistakes and what I'm doing right, I still go back to the manual one. You know, they sometimes it's just something unique about those old school approaches.
No doubt about it. All right, coach. So to close things off, what would you say is one underrated emotional skill traders should work on? Underrated emotional skill.
Today's questions are
we're going for it.
Underrated emotional skill.
Yeah. Because, you know, we talked about all the fear, greed, hope, and all these things, and, you know, these, but ultimately, what would you say is that underrated or overlooked skill, emotional skill?
I feel like we've touched base on it, but I still not fail to emphasize that it'll still be like patience, you know? It's like somewhat overrated, at the same time also underrated. You know, because like it becomes like a cliche where everybody's like, okay, you gotta have patience. But indeed, you really gotta have like patience. You know, there's this book that I was reading. You know, I read that book in 2018, but
what's the name?
I don't know. It's called Zen in the Market.
Zen in the Market.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just a piece of book. Just you could read it in a day or barely a few hours. It's fully on psychology.
Okay.
You know,
what do you think that like reading that was kind of the shift? Into the light.
It contributed heavily. You know, I read a lot of books.
So give me three moments in your trading career where it was like the light, you know, like a really awakening moment that you'll never forget. Three.
Let's speak about the Sunday where it's like all the pieces came together for me. It's like I was supposed to go to church, and then I said I was not going to go. I gave a friend of mine who I was sharing a room with offering that, look, go. Contribute for me. I'm just going to be in the room. I needed to find some answers I was looking for.
Okay.
And that answers was like, why does the market turn where it turns? And then what does it do before it turns? You know?
Okay.
I was like, why? I'm just watching all these charts.
Yeah.
And asking myself critical questions like, why does the market turn where it, why is it that it's just going there? And suddenly it just started.
Sure.
Why? What happened? Like, who's controlling it? Like, yeah. I was so worried. Like, why? And then what does it do before? Because I realized that if I could find a why, and I could also find what it does, then I could find some edge in there. I could find some, I'd say, speculative edge in there, be able to like perhaps get in early on the market before that happens. And I did find those answers that on that fateful Sunday. You know, I realized the simple answers to all of that was that I was not going to be able to find reasoning to why all the actions did happen, but I could find consistencies in most of them, and there are some that are just unexplainable, and they're not going to align with uniformity, which is like repeatedness. So I should just appreciate the few repeatedness and then leverage on them.
Okay.
So I don't care when I'm just watching the chat and the whole, I'm not finding the few 3-4 times in a week, 5 times in a month. Those patterns, I have to make sure that I'm participating in the pattern that I recognize.
When you see it again,
yes. And then when I don't, then it's fine. You know, so there were weeks where, like, especially when a lot of people were following me in the community and then my trading and putting all out, like, other traders will come and then Monday they trade in, Tuesday they trade in, and then traders like, Kojo, what is happening? Are you trading? You're not watching the market. I'm like, I am. I'm just like not seeing anything. I'm just chilled. You know, and it could be like Thursday or Friday, then I'll drop like finally one trade. And that one trade would just make like maybe 200 pip, 500 pip. I'm like, wow, Kojo, just one trade.
But like a sniper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know. And so like just understanding that also did make like a lot of difference.
So you've mentioned patience a few times.
Yes.
So give me some patience with what? Patience with how quick my success will come? Patience with the markets? What does patience mean for you exactly? And for our listeners who probably need to exercise it.
Right. So you see, I did touch base on the book, which I said, Zen in the Market.
Yeah,
right?
Zen in the Market.
Yes.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah. And a few part of the first sub-chapter of the book focused on some of the things that we hear in the market all the time, but almost as if we're not able to just follow those simple rules as traders. It's like you say, buy low and then sell high, but you get traders buying high and then still selling low. So you're asking yourself, why are you not able to do like that simple thing, you know? And so like it double down on the fact that like we're almost just like not able to follow simple rules as human beings, you know, even when in light of it, it brings us the success that we're looking for. So it's like a piece of a book that just brings back the true awareness of like what you're not doing, and more like reaffirming that if you bring yourself to doing this, then you're set up for success.
Well, it sounds like it comes down to like an emotional control.
Yes.
So for someone who's, let's say, listening, who maybe is trying to figure out how to have emotional control or lacks it, what advice would you give them?
I'd say you must put in a lot of conscious effort and work on self-awareness.
Self-awareness,
you know. And I was happy that you did touch on it, because
it's important in life, not just trading. I mean, and just, you know, being a good human and, you know, doing the right by people. So
yeah, because like Nima, I put it this way. Imagine that you're failing in maths all the time. And then, like, they're telling you that the only way for you to succeed in that is that you put in the work of practicing your exams just 1 hour a day.
Yeah.
And then you're not doing that and you're expecting to pass. You probably, you know, have to blame yourself for the rest of. So in trading as well, like, as traders, you know that, like, you need to follow the simple rules, you know? and then you're not following it, and then you're not getting successful, don't blame the outside world. That's where the internal locus of control comes in. You
Own
just
it,
have
own
to
it.
own it. Yes, you just put it right.
What do you, I mean, let me ask you this. For you, like in your successes with trading, is the financial winnings the better feeling, or knowing that you kind of you figured it or you've cracked the code? What is more satisfying? I mean, probably it is the investments and the
Yeah,
earnings.
there's a thin line between the two, actually.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's, but I'd say for the most part, is in the being right. You
Yeah.
know, there's that, yeah,
For sure, that kind of.
yeah. There is the soothsayer feeling in the,
Yeah.
like you could call the future type of a thing.
Definitely.
You know, I've done that a few times.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I'm too bold to like put them out publicly, and then you have people like, we're having a very opinionated perspective, then it turns out that okay, you're right, and then people come back giving you credit. So you kind of like enjoy that moment than even like looking at what the P&L says actually.
Sure. All right, Kojo, this has been good. And again, I mean, last podcast, I mean, I had a really good time, but we got so much positive feedback, and the listeners were so just happy with the information. And I think we'll be doing this more. And I'm thinking maybe next one we'll come to you this time.
Thank you.
Being born to trade isn't just about instinct. It's about awareness, discipline, and tools that give you control. Thanks for joining us, Kojo. And for everyone listening, remember, emotions are part of the job. Manage them is a part of the edge. We would appreciate it if you could support the podcast by subscribing and leaving us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen.